AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. My very special guest today is Philip Key from Positive PR Limited. If you ever want your image to get out there in a positive way, this is the guy you go to. Wanting to engage in utter scumbaggery. He'll wind up exposing you instead. Phil, welcome to the program.
How are you this morning? Or this afternoon?
I'm really looking forward to talking about today's topic. You wanted to talk about the decline of the Murdoch Empire.
Well, I think we're starting to see the signs of that with their own business. With basically, in the last couple of weeks, we have had a couple of quite significant companies in New Zealand who have cancelled all of their newspaper and magazine advertising and now starting to put it into the online space completely. So we are now seeing the merge of a new media industry.
Okay. Well, this has been coming for a long time. And could we put it down to the rise of the alternative media on the internet, which is the reason why print media is dying out?
I think it's the rise of all online media. Certainly the alternative media is playing a big part in that because it's given the ability for people all around the world to express their views in a manner that has never been seen before. But also, you know, it's just the whole image. I think people, businesses are waking up, and yeah, it has been a long time coming, but to be honest, a lot of businesses are only now really grasping with the fact that their traditional advertising is not working anymore. And it's been interesting because in the last week I've also had an approach from probably the number one magazine in New Zealand, which I won't disclose at this point, but they basically want their magazine online, they want it iPad compatible, and they also want to look at ways of making that revenue generating for the future. And I guess that's what the likes of Rupert Murdoch have not been able to achieve.
Well, when you come to talk about Murdoch, ultimately it just comes down to, well, what I see as sort of like the ultimate in brainwashing apparatus. Is he the largest single media scumbag in the world?
Well, I don't know if I'd go as far as calling him a scumbag. You're certainly entitled to do that. But in terms of a media empire in the world, he certainly is. It certainly is the biggest. I guess his reputation has been somewhat tarnished by recent events and the whole phone tapping incident. But he remains the biggest. But I think that's all about to seriously be put into jeopardy by an opportunity for a business such as ours to really go out there and grasp the market. And what you've got to remember today is the ability of online to go to so many people in the world. So unlike traditional newspapers that were very much governed by their local audience, they might have a circulation of 100,000. I mean, what you're talking about now is the ability to promote a newspaper online or a magazine online or anything online to literally billions of people around the world. How's that for a circulation? I mean, it's so much bigger than anything that Murdoch's got.
Yeah, pretty substantial.
Pretty substantial. I mean, I've got one outlet in India alone that can tap into over one. I mean, one individual in India that is part of our network can go into over 1 million Facebook users. So just imagine once we start gathering any number of those people together, the power of what we're going to do online.
Well, we're gathering steam, we're gathering speed, and I feel that it's kind of we're the unstoppable force, and the current mainstream media is the immovable object, right?
Yeah, only immovable for a period of time. I would go as far to predict, and I know that this will be quite amazing for a number of people, but I would say within 5 years we could see the decline of it. We could actually see the end of a number of what we might deem traditional newspapers. And if anyone doubts that, then look at how things have grown in the last 2 years. And when I said before about people sort of starting to see this, it's because the age demographic of people who are in charge of businesses is starting to become one that realises the online proposition. So we're not, 2 years ago when I started preaching this, we're up against a lot of business owners that did not understand social media. Now you go to a business owner and you don't even have to tell, you don't have to go down that conversation of explaining to them what social media is all about. So you've actually got a whole different environment. And the biggest problem that Murdoch faces is he's caught between that traditional media and the online media environment. So he definitely doesn't want to hurt his traditional media. What that does is leaves big opportunities for someone else to come into the marketplace that is totally online driven and can see the opportunity that lies ahead.
Well, I wonder about... We're getting some mad feedback from you, Phil. Can you turn your speakers down, please? We're getting some really mad people, basically, out there, particularly in mainstream media, who just see alternative media as a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists and they should all be demonized and what have you. And it's like as if mainstream media has any credibility left, you know? They've been shilling BS for so long that now they don't know which end is up anymore. I mean, can they even redeem themselves is the question.
I think the answer to that is quite simple, and it's one that, I don't even focus on traditional media anymore because it's space that is wasted. And if you start focusing on what they're doing, then you're giving them time to something that is no longer going to be the case. So it's far better to actually focus on what the future and where the future holds. And in answer to your question, no, there is no credibility any longer. There is no credibility. And the fact is that they are starting, their space is diminishing. And without you or I doing anything, that space is going to diminish at a rate that we wouldn't even dream to imagine in the next 12 months to 2 years. It is just going to die so fast. So even putting thinking into that, they will become very much an insignificant part of the market. So they still try to hold on to their attitude. And that's entrenched into, that is entrenched into their thinking space. One of the things I've done just in the last couple of weeks is acquired one of Murdoch's in terms of like newspaper editors, I've actually acquired one of those editors into my business. And that is because I will take the best of what he's got, I'll put them into my business, I'll give them an online model to go for. And so basically, I mean, anyone that's going to be worth their salt will not want to go to a newspaper. I'm already taking on journalism interns because, hey, at the end of the day, who else is creating a future for journalists? It certainly is not Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the alternative media actually does need to start taking on interns. In fact, we should do kind of like a camp for it, and we'll call it an internment camp, where we teach people about how to be an alternative media person, how to go out there by yourself, edit, film, upload, put tags on, the whole nine yards. Like I had to learn all this basically for myself. To a large degree, and I think that the most important thing is you realize that nobody's going to help you. You really do have to take the responsibility on yourself solely and not rely on anybody else to do the work for you.
I think the social media, I mean, the one you're dead right. I mean, that's pretty much the attitude, and the only way that any regime exists is because no one stands up and challenges her or takes the responsibility on their own shoulders to do it. So, you know, by doing that, you are putting your name out there. And I think the thing is, like, what you've done is created the platform for that to happen. And the great thing is your views can be expressed and not censored. And that has always been one of the issues of traditional media, is that you have people who have ideas that are certainly not necessarily mainstream or considered to be alternative. And so they've been tended to be quashed. And I think it's far better to create those ideas and views to come through, which is what the online space does.
What do you feel about the topic of credibility, though? I mean, obviously the mainstream media has no credibility now, but there are people within the conspiracy movement, or what I call the truth movement to a degree, who are worried about getting demonized and being called wackos and crazies and what have you. And so they talk themselves out of becoming active because they're afraid of getting demonized. And my perspective is they're going to demonize you anyway, regardless of how accurate your information is. So don't bother.
Well, I think what you must do is you must still have a degree of accuracy in the information that you put out there, because that is the thing that will ultimately raise questions of credibility. But that information can be very alternative, so you don't necessarily just have to offer the views of what is mainstream. So one of the things, I guess one of the issues that I probably see a little bit at the moment is the question of alternative medicines. And that is certainly something where, particularly in New Zealand, the government is trying to downtrodden people who might have views on alternate medicines and people who practice an alternative medicine. And I mean, it's very clear that the only reason that is happening is because we have some very big companies in the world that have their interests to protect.
When you keep a watch on the powerful, you wind up finding a lot of things that you just wish weren't true, but you know they are. And this is the real crux of the issue, I find, is how do you get those incredibly unpopular truths to become mainstream? And more to the point, how can we redefine the concept of mainstream? What is it anymore? Is mainstream wanting to watch rugby, wanting to drink beer, and wanting to tell anybody who talks about politics that they're an idiot?
I think It all comes quite simply down to perception, and the way that you can change what one might deem as being mainstream is by putting alternative views out there and putting them in a way that they are conveyed, as I said, with a degree of accuracy, with a degree of credibility. So you do need to get some people around you who, this is where PR kicks in, you actually get some people around you who are deemed to be probably more mainstream or more credible in their views. But it's amazing how often you find that those people actually might share a view that's not necessarily going to be one of the normal. And I think that's the whole issue, is, you know, what is normal? Normal is perhaps what a people in the in a middle segment of society deem to be normal. But in fact, just because someone has a different view doesn't mean that they have to be quashed. I think one of the most important things is not to get too much focused on you know, perhaps worrying about people in the mainstream and actually starting to just put the views or other views out there as often as you possibly can. Because you know what happens then? When those views are expressed any number of times to people, they start to change their views of what they might consider mainstream.
In other words, if you get a heck of a lot of opinions from all different sides of the sector and they start to corroborate each other, you gain what's known as perspective, whereas the mainstream media gives you one opinion from one side and they give you... is myopia a word, as in a derivative of the word myopic?
And that's so what you do there is you start just having those alternate views going out through other channels, and other channels that Google might suddenly decide, for whatever reason, they place them as number one on Google ahead of what you might deem to be the mainstream media. So it's actually quite a simple process, because if you start to develop alternative or other media channels, you can start to replace some of those traditional media mainstream channels.
Exactly. When, as I always say, if the mainstream media won't do their job, don't get angry with them. Just go ahead and replace them, because they're no longer relevant. Philip Key from Positive PR Limited, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Phil, and you have yourself a wonderful day, mate. We'll catch you after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, host to scumbags and ticks carrying Lyme disease alike. and also Vinnie Eastwood, the host of this particular show on American Freedom Radio. My very special guest today is Jamie, who is Freeman's partner. Jamie, welcome to the program. Jamie Hanshaw.
Hello,
indeed.
Vinnie. How are you,
darling?
Good.
Really, really good, actually. Somewhat fabulous.
You're fabulous?
Somewhat.
Why?
Because I get to interview Jamie Hanshaw. That's why.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, can I ask you something? Could you just introduce yourself to the audience, a little bit about yourself, what your background is, etc.?
Okay. Well, I kind of was born into a family who was very aware of what was going on. They were fundamental Christians, and I was homeschooled and everything. So I like to say that I was a conspiracy theorist before it was cool. You know, my mom was showing me things like Clinton Chronicles and FEMA camps and everything in the 90s when I was growing up. So I've always had this worldview that everything wasn't exactly what we were being told, and so I've just kind of been expanding on this knowledge. I've obviously been a conspiracy theorist for about 20 years now, so I have some things to say about the movement, I guess.
Can I ask you, what's your definition of a conspiracy theorist? Mine is that a conspiracy theorist believes there's powerful and influential people who use their power to gain more influence.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's starting to become a science now more than a theory, because the theories are being proven right. You know, things that people have been saying for 20 years or more are coming to light. So it's more like, you know, a new study almost. Actually, in my town where we used to live in Lawrence, Kansas, they have a college course on conspiracy theory. So they're actually teaching this now in universities.
That would be what I would think should actually really, really happen, is because, well, basically, there's a conspiracy theory for everything, as the conspiracy deniers and coincidence theorists say.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, almost everything that's taught in public school, university, anything to do with economics, politics, anything, really, is just all total BS. And the conspiracy theorists have got it down. To the point where the term conspiracy theorist, originally coined allegedly by Richard Milhouse Nixon, calling Woodward and Bernstein conspiracy theorists.
You know, oh, they're just conspiracy theorists. I am not a crook.
You know, that kind of stuff. I think that propaganda is a great tool, because what you can do is you can take the enemy's terms and then change their meaning. Right? I reckon we should change the term conspiracy theorist to mean something different to what it currently does. It needs to be something good, something intelligent.
Right. Well, I'm not really out to prove anything. You know, you can't change people's minds unless they want to learn. But I'm just here to make it interesting, bring wonder. You know, I just kind of ask people, don't you think this is strange? And try and engage their reaction. I don't try to stick to things that I can prove, because I want people just wondering about what's going on instead of making dogma out of it.
I agree. There's a difference between beliefs and facts. Facts you can prove, beliefs you can just feel, and we all kind of have a foot in both camps a lot of the time, don't you think?
Yeah. And I don't want to be proved right in my mind, because I think the things that we study and the things that we look into are so horrifically scary that I don't ever want to come up to that face to face. I just kind of want to look at it from the other side and analyze, but I don't really want to know what they're doing in the dark rooms, or because I can't say anything like that, but I don't want to know. I'd just rather be on the outside looking in, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I've often thought that it'd be great to wake up one morning and find proof and evidence that there's no such thing as Rothschilds, no such thing as Rockefellers, no such thing as false flag terrorism, no such thing as aspartame, no such thing as fluoride, that it all doesn't exist, and I've just been crazy this whole time, and I was just making it up in my head in some ridiculously, incredibly intense psychoactive trip, you know?
That's the thing when you... When you start learning this stuff, you can't go back. I mean, once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. So if you find something that kind of convinces you to keep following that thread, you're always going to find more evidence that supports, you know, the conspiracy theory, basically. The more you look into it, the more easily it is to see. I mean, now we've got all these, you know, mini occultists looking at the Super Bowl and other high-profile rituals, and they're blogging about it all, and I'm just really proud, because they're kind of on the same tip. You know, they're not studying it as deeply kind of as we are, because they don't have the resources, but...
Hey, and speaking of the Super Bowl ceremony, I love the picture of Madonna. She's got one hand up and one hand down, and it's a perfect lineup with the, with that picture of Baphomet, and it's like this kind of goat-like creature with horns and giant pentagram on him kind of thing, and of course she's wearing a headdress that has devil horns on it.
Right. Well, Baphomet is kind of a catch-all for the Illuminati. You know, it was the, people say it was the idol of the Templars. It's the hermaphroditic goat with the horns and, you know, half man, half goat, half woman, half all these things, right? But what I like
it's to like half of you go that way, half of you go that way, and the rest of you come with me.
But what they're doing in these ceremonies, which we like to call high-profile rituals, is a lot more detailed than that, and they actually go into a lot of the mystery plays and mystery religions of the past. So Madonna came out, and she's got the headdress. But if you look, go Google Valkyrie. Do you know what a Valkyrie is?
Weren't they the kind of, there were angels sort of thing that came down from Valhalla to go over the battlefields and to find the greatest warriors to take up to Valhalla?
Exactly. So, you know, the goddess Freya would ride out with her Valkyries, and Freya would take half the souls in, and the Valkyries would take the other half to Valhalla. And this goes back to, you know, Freya and Thor, who became in the Celtic religion, St. Bridget and Michael. Now, the thing that I thought was interesting about this was that February 1st and 2nd, which we just had, was a witch's Sabbath called Candlemas, or St. Bridget's Day. And so this is a Sabbath between the winter solstice and the spring equinox, and it's a very high time for witches to do rituals of initiation. So also the Valkyrie goes... what I wanted to connect there was that Freya of the Nordics became St. Bridget of the Celtics, and we just had St. Bridget's Day. So the Valkyrie also has a big part in the Nazi mystery religion, where they worshipped Odin and the Nordics, and Operation Valkyrie was, you know, you can watch that movie with Tom Cruise or whatever, but... So these are the types of costumes that we're seeing. We're seeing old ancient gods coming back to life. And for every, you know, VMAs or weird thing Lady Gaga does, you can take it back to another mystery play, like that time she arrived in an egg to the Grammys. Do you remember that?
No, not...
Yeah, you have to look that up, where she came in an egg. And so this goes back to Orpheus and the Orphic egg. So what I would say, instead of just calling everything a Baphomet or saying it's Lucifer, you have to get in deeper because, so Freya would go out and collect the souls on the battlefield, and this is what we're looking at because they like to portray men as just mindless beasts, and this is what football is all about. So Madonna does her song, I Love Madonna, I think is the new song. You have to watch the video that goes... to the song that she performed at the Super Bowl because she's riding around on the backs of football players, and at the end she yanks one of their helmets off and decapitates them and finds out it's a robot. It shoots sparks like a robot, right? So I noticed this theme a lot of times in the videos where they are calling men just mindless drone zombie beasts, and they have the male backup dancers just as... to give you that idea. I think Beyonce and Lady Gaga did a video video phone where the men had their heads replaced by this robotic red eye. And so what we're talking about is the symbolism of they're telling you that men are just brutes, basically, that follow their hormones. And that we can, you know, capitulate them to violence by using sexy women.
Hey, and in fact, there was a recent video done by Beyonce called Women Run the World or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Women do run the world. But it's the... So they're replacing the nature mother goddess with a warrior goddess. And so that's what Frey is. That's what Minerva is. That's what, you know, all these goddesses of war... instead of nurturing mother goddesses. So that's what my work goes into, is that they're destroying the sacred feminine.
Is that by chance what the feminist movement has turned about? Because I've noticed that some ladies who are hardcore into their feminism, they have no nurturing skills whatsoever, but they're incredibly aggressive.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right.
That explains a heck of a lot.
Yeah, so what they're telling you is that, well, what we call princess warrior programming, right? So they raise the girls to become princesses and the boys to become warriors. And you can totally see this in the football players and cheerleaders of the Super Bowl. So you've got your princesses and your warriors, and the warriors go off to war to satisfy the needs of the princess, who needs her pink cell phone and her castle and her convertible and all these other materialistic things, right?
Yeah. But can I interject here? Because when you talk about the warriors and the princesses, the first thing that comes to mind is my cousin Lucy Lawless, Xena, warrior princess. Is there any kind of... Right. Were they trying to tell people something there?
Probably. Yeah, this is all about World War III. So this is what we're getting ready to see. And all these underlying suggestions to World War III. And so Madonna had her symbol. Did you catch that? That there was like two V's and an O and an X?
I didn't quite see that.
Her stage was made up, and this kept on lighting up underneath her. So it really cracked me up, because if you look at Freeman's work, he does a lot of talking about the 66 and how it's the dark side of the Tree of Life and the Klephot and six is V in Hebrew, and if you interlace them, you get 66, and then, you know, if you look at the Volkswagen logo, that's 666. So basically, she just had a giant 666 that she was standing on, but also now this is what she made. It's called a sigil. A sigil is something that you make out of letters, and you imbibe it with magical powers, and you charge it, and it's supposed to work for you. Have you ever heard of this? Sigil, yeah. So she's standing on a sigil, and it's made of two V's, and then they cross again to make an X and an O, which also equals six, because O is the 15th letter, and X is the 24th letter of the alphabet. So this is all called gematria, and if you go to study Kabbalah or anything like that, you'll find out that gematria is one of the most highest practice occult magical techniques there are.
And does this tie in with the sacred geometry in a way?
I can't think of any correlations between a 66 and a and the sacred geometry.
Okay. Well, it's just that's just a random thought on my mind. Never mind. Continue on.
Yeah, because geometry kind of sounds like geometry, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe. I was just thinking about sacred geometry this morning, and we were thinking about making a whole bunch of just pyramids out of bamboo and putting them over our gardens. We saw this video online one. This guy made a pyramid sort of greenhouse sort of thing, and he's growing just basically weeds that are growing in his backyard sort of thing. And they're all really kind of tiny, spindly or whatever. But then you go to the weed that's underneath the pyramid, and it's like 2 to 3 times the size and thickness.
Right.
There's something about channeling energy from the universe through the shape of the pyramid. But anyway, we're coming up to break now. Jamie Hanshaw is my guest, Freeman's partner, and we'll be right back just after the break. Join us in the chat room at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from Auckland, New Zealand. I'm not in Germany, I'm not in the Uber Kingdom, I'm not in the United States. I am from a very, very remote, although not isolated, island nation that is full of farmers and very creative people. For example, a dude who created a water-fueled car and then, of course, got his invention stolen by oil companies. a guy who created the world's fastest motorcycle, world's fastest Indian, a man named Burt Munro. It's amazing what one man can do in his shed, right? And yet, when you look at, say, military research and all of that kind of stuff, they have many men in giant sheds producing a tenth as much as just one creative person who's dedicated to his own cause. Now, the question is, and we were talking about this over the break, Jamie, about what would you do if you didn't have 8 hours a day to yourself? What, you know, how would you reprioritize your life? And the answer is, you'd have to forget about all those things that you want to do because, A1, you wouldn't have time to do them, and B2, even if you did, you'd be too freaking tired from working. And that's right. Exactly how they want you.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's so funny that the process of getting a job is one big lie from beginning to end. You have to go in and pretend like you want the job in the first place. And how many of us want a job? Nobody that I know. When people tell me they got a job, I'm like, I'm sorry. it's just one big false representation of yourself. And so you have to submit to authority. You have to deceive them, if not in your resume, in the interview. You're wearing something that you would never wear in your real life, right? And then you go in there and you tell a bunch of lies and say, I'm so excited, I want to work here, and blah, blah, blah. And if they choose you, then you're the lucky one. And then you have to go and submit yourself to them for 8 hours a day. And it's just... it's not the way that we should be living. Like you said, he invented a water engine just in his spare time in a shed. And this is what we would all be doing. See, when we talk about getting rid of money and getting rid of jobs and stuff like that, it's not that we're not going to have anything if that happens. Everything's not just going to come to a grinding halt and you're not going to have your... whatever it is, your favorite thing that civilization has given you, it's going to be much more abundant. Everyone's going to have their own, if they did, you know, their food would be available to them. They could spend that time gardening. They could spend that time doing whatever it is that, you know, following their bliss instead of submitting to authority and sitting in a desk for 8 hours or whatever it is that you have to do to get that paycheck.
It's slavery, basically, is what it is. Except it's an open air prison type slavery. You know, you don't have manacles on the outside of you. You got your manacles on the inside of you. And the people who enforce this aren't people carrying whips. They're people that are, well, carrying you. They're your family. They're your friends, and they're the ones that tell you to stop being so protesty and to go get a job and all of that kind of stuff. So it's an open air prison where all the guards are also the prisoners. It's a brilliant scheme,
right?
And it's very difficult to get people to wake up to the fact that A, that they're slaves, and B, they're their own enslavers at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And just the getting a job is just undermining your sovereignty, in my opinion, because you have to submit yourself to this boss and your whole livelihood is dependent. I've had many jobs, right? And now I'm just basically unemployable because I can't take...
orders.
Orders, yeah, basically.
Exactly the same. Exactly the same with me. It's almost like you have a... it's almost like a job phobia, but more like an allergy, you know?
Right.
Somebody comes up and offer you a job and you're like, I'm sorry.
It's not that I don't want things to do because I love doing things. You know, I'm up and doing things early in the morning until late at night. I am interested in a lot of things, but it's just being stuck in one place is not good for your soul, I don't think.
Isn't that the point of work, though, is to destroy your soul?
Yep.
That's what happens when you cage somebody, you know? Is that what happens to prisoners, people who go to jail, their soul just basically gets destroyed because they have no outlets, no freedoms, no nothing, and the body sort of turns itself into a stone sort of thing, and the surface solidifies and there's nothing left inside.
Well, your soul dies and all that's left is the robot, right? And Colin Wilson, in his books, he talks a lot about people turning into robots because civilization has not given anybody any challenges that are worthy of the human spirit. And everything is done for them. Everything is built for them. Everything runs without their input at all. And so they just turn into robots doing the same thing over and over.
Repetition. Where do people learn all that from? Wasn't it Edward Bernays, father of propaganda?
Uh-huh. Repetition. Even Hitler knew that. That's why they play pop songs all the time on the radio, the same songs over and over. You know, they have to do that. They have to, by contract, play the, the scripted songs that they give them because they know that repetition is the first component of mind control. So the first time you hear a song, you're like, ah, that's stupid, that's dumb. But then maybe the 10th to 15th time, you're snapping your fingers, you're singing along with the lyrics. And also, in my opinion, these things turn into a mental virus. These pop songs are actually embedded in your psyche, and you can't... how many times have you heard one song and you just can't get that freaking song out of your head, even though you hate it and everything it stands for? But you can't quit humming it.
It's happened a number of times. And sometimes it's random as well. Like a song will pop into your head. You haven't heard it in months or something, but for some reason it comes up and it starts repeating itself over and over again. You're like, where did that come from?
Yep. So these are all techniques of mind control. Repetition and even the pop music itself. I mean, the way that they've changed the hertz, from 400 to 440 is atonal to our body harmony as well.
Yeah. It's when you look at the world and you look at brainwashing, you kind of think to yourself, the world is really bathed in brainwashing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, from birth till death, you start to... where are you born? You're born in a hospital. Okay. Who's that doctor trained by? He's trained by a medical school. Who financed that medical school? Giant pharmaceutical companies. How much does that doctor know about nutrition? Nothing. How much does he know about pharmaceuticals? Nothing. How's he supposed to keep you healthy? I don't know.
Right. And then there's a lot of good research coming out now about how the hospital birth protocols actually mirror trauma-based mind control. And how that they give you these drugs, these artificial chemicals, and the epidural, and all these things, so that you come out basically soulless. Because when you're giving birth, your body floods its the bloodstream with the oxytocin, the chemical of love and well-being and nurturing and stuff like that. So when they give the epidural and they give this this synthetic chemical called Pitocin, it actually shuts off this process. And so the baby is born without getting this in their bloodstream. They don't know what love is for the rest of their life. They're cut off from the source. And, you know, just all these other procedures, they yank it out, slice it up, put goop in their eyes, and smack it on the butt and isolate it. I mean, Monty Python did a really, really, really good skit and the meaning of life about childbirth right now.
Yeah.
And how inhumane.
I see you have the machine that goes ping.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one. And the pregnant lady goes, "What do I do?" And he goes, "Nothing. You're not qualified." So they're cutting us off from love at the source. The moment we're born, basically. And so a lot of people, the weird people, the conspiracy theorists or whatever, they're getting into home births and midwives and, staying out of the hospital because, in my opinion, the hospital is just a nest of vampires. Yeah. Literally. And I've been through enough medical problems and different things in and out of the hospital to know what they're about and what they do, and it has nothing to do with your well-being or health or anything like that. They basically need your blood and your organs and your other endocrine juices for their own. Pepsi's using aborted fetus stem cells to test flavor on, and so is Nestle and a bunch of other big corporations, they use these things that they take from us. You know, when they circumcise babies, they take the foreskin, they make makeup out of it, or face cream, or whatever. So this is just a recycling and consuming humans, which is, to me, is vampirism.
Oh, it's okay. And we'll be right back after this break, ladies and gentlemen, with Jamie Hanshaw. You can check out some of their work at freeman.tv. You listen to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Join us in the chat room there at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. If you're capable of supporting the broadcast by subscribing for $5 a month or something, we'd really appreciate that from you. And we'll be back in just a few minutes at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Women and children, front lines, log on, tune in, stand and be counted. In the belly of the vulture, watch your back. There's no civilians, women, children, front lines. Listen, consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
To the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, on AM, FM bands all across America, and the world in the Schwarzenegger sense of the word. My very special guest is Jamie Hanshaw, who's Freeman's partner. And one thing we were talking about over the break is the occult in the music industry. The first thing that comes to mind when we mention that is Jay-Z. All right, Jay-Z. He even has a clothing line called Rockerwear, which is dedicated to the Rockefeller family. Are you fracking kidding me?
Right. Some of his T-shirts, you can say sport things like "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." I've seen a Rockerwear T-shirt that says that, and that's obviously Aleister Crowley's dictum of the Temple of Thelema. Others have blatant Freemasonic symbolism on them. So we can obviously see where Jay-Z's alignments are, despite what he says in interviews and things like that. He kind of just brushes over the topic, but it's obvious when you put it all together. I mean, they have a song called Lucifer, Son of the Morning, him and Kanye, and then... You know, one of the songs, if you play it backwards, you can clearly hear it say 666, murder, murder, Jesus. You can find all this on YouTube. I can't remember exactly what song it is. But, yeah, Jay-Z is a whole other study in itself. Also, his wife, Beyonce, lots of new comings about with her and the new baby and everything. So that's kind of strange.
When we talk about the music industry and the occult and all that kind of stuff, people just kind of like switch off and it's like, oh, nah, Britney Spears isn't into the occult. Lady Gaga isn't into that. And he's using, well, dude, if you know nothing about the occult, then mm-hmm. of course that's how you think. But mm-hmm. if you know anything and you just look for even a moment at any music video, any music performance, anything that they do, and you can see that it is loaded with symbolism.
Right. One thing that just made me think of is all the different celebrities that have admitted openly to selling their soul to the devil for fame and fortune. And you know,
such as?
Katy Perry, Snoop Dogg, Bob Dylan, Eminem, even this new character that they've called Rain Man. Have you heard of this? That call me Rain Man?
Okay. No.
So, personality switching is a component of the trauma-based mind control. You know, when your brain is traumatized and it compartmentalizes into alter personalities, which you can program with different things to do. But Rain Man, in my opinion, is kind of like the Lord of the Power of Money, because it comes from the Lil Wayne song, I'm going to make it rain in the club. With the dollar bills and the strippers. So this is where this is coming from. And now Eminem calls himself that. Several others call themselves Rain Man. But this is just... people say it's just the devil, but there's different aspects, I think, of the devil that they're dealing with here. So that's, in my opinion, blatantly about money and, like, material wealth. Rain Man.
Well, you look at the role models, right, and you have a look at, say, Hollywood stars, and they're all having affairs and spending copious amounts of money on stuff that they don't need, and at the same time as being really debauched and getting plastic surgery and being, well, basically a soulless scum, they go around and they front for charities all the time. Charities, mm-hmm. which are all, like, UN-linked and what have you. So it's just basically like this big, massive, swirling pool of filthy, disgusting crap. And you cannot, for the life of me, see any redemption for these type of people because, as you said, they've literally sold their soul to the devil.
Right. As far as redemption or their scumbags, I don't really see it that way because I think they're all victims. Every single last one of them is a victim, and so are we, of this the trauma-based mind control. And this is something they perfected in Nazi Germany, but they've been using it on a large scale for, you know, ever since the world started, or Atlantis fell, or however you want to view it. But so they're just all victims of victims of victims, and it's actually a scarring of the brain when this happens. So they're literally brain dead. And this can be passed on also. So this is why they want to keep the bloodlines and keep doing the trauma-based mind control through the bloodlines, because it's a more of an impact that way.
By chance, is there also a connection there between the fact that a lot of doctors have children that turn out to be doctors, a lot of actors have children that turn out to be actors, a lot of lawyers mm-hmm. have children that turn out to be lawyers, a lot of politicians mm-hmm. have children that wind up being politicians?
Right. Well, I think that's just parental pressure.
Yeah, thought so. Yeah. When you talk about it being passed down genetically, how can you pass down brain damage?
I'm not really sure of the scientific ways. This is part of my studies in the trauma-based mind control, is that they can pass down this. Like I said before, how they want to cut off your ability empathy. To love your empathy when you're born with the epidurals and all that stuff. So that's what I'm talking about.
There was some kind of research into the Illuminati bloodlines. I believe it was David Icke that was talking about this, saying that what they've got is these bloodlines which are devoid of empathy, and they've managed to breed empathy out of these bloodlines to a degree.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So how does it work to have a ruling class, an elite, if you will, that does not know how people feel and has no capacity to do so at all? I mean, how do you deal with these people? Because if you can't blame them, if they're victims too, what's the solution to all of this?
I don't know. It makes me think of, you know, that magical... saying called as above, so below. Are you familiar with this? Where just the microcosm and the macrocosm. So all we can do is just be more empathetic and more loving and more sensitive to kind of make up for this lack that they have, because we can't cut it off at the head. You know, if you just go and get rid of the president or assassinate whoever you think is causing all the problems, three more is just going to spring up in his place, right? So this is a healing that has to take place on a root level and an individual level, and it has to start with each and every single one of us taking care of our own mental health and our own bodily health, and not depending on doctors or whoever the authority is in what you're trying to accomplish, because usually the authority is just dead wrong and your intuition is right. You know, like you said, doctors don't know anything about healing a body. They just know about slicing it or giving you drugs, right?
Yeah, so, or irradiating it.
And this is funny because then the end of the Super Bowl, the lights went out and it said world peace. Did you see that?
Yeah, world peace of what, I wonder?
Well, that's the funny thing because, you know, after everyone's dead on the battlefield, maybe we will have world peace.
Yeah, I actually, that dovetails with what I said on Facebook yesterday, is that once people are all exterminated and there's nobody's left, Earth will be quite peaceful, won't it? Because exactly. There'll be nobody around to make any noise.
No, except for the elite, which this makes me think of that movie 2012, right, where you can only afford a ticket to the boat if you had $1 billion or more or something like that.
Yeah, and billion so euros.
They're going to put all these people who've never done a thing for themselves in their entire life and expect them to restart civilization after it's over. I mean, they can't even wipe their own butt. I mean, the queen has
the guy is called the groomer of the stool.
Exactly. So these are the type of people that do you want to start over in a new world? You know, they have to set up a brand new civilization. I don't think so. So it has to be us that thinks of a new paradigm instead of them. We can't follow Jacques Fresco. We can't follow Noam Chomsky. We can't. We have to think of what we want personally and make that happen. And one of my big topics right now is about just health in general, health and nutrition. This is something that not a lot of people know about. This is clandestine knowledge. This is, it's one of the heart of the problem. If we could get everybody eating right and healthy, then they'll have different outlooks. I mean, when I started being vegan, like for 3 months, I was so much more optimistic about everything in life. And I couldn't attribute it to anything other than, you know, just feeling great and not processing those chemicals of fear and the other crap that they put into animal products, right? So I'm not saying everybody has to be vegan, but you definitely have to pay attention to what you're putting in your body, because don't help them. We're seeing an assault on our physiology because the powers that we're up against in my studies, I'm finding out that they're not organic and they're not biological.
So, and this is why microwaves are also very dangerous as well. You know, it... Mm-hmm. Basically, for those who don't know, it vibrates the cells and the food really, really quickly and then rips them mm-hmm. open and damages the cell strains kind of thing. And your body right. can no longer recognize incomplete cell strains. So it just basically sits there in your gut and manifests later on as cancer.
Yep. And so let's not help them along. I mean, they're trying to kill us in every way possible. You got your chemtrails in the air. You got your fluoride in the water. You got your crap food. You can't escape it, right? Everything's toxic. I mean, right down to your Tempur-Pedic mattress is emitting off gases that will make you sick. So let's do everything we can to re-bolster our spiritual immune system and our physical immune system, you know?
Well, you know, and our intellectual immune system as well.
Right.
And I've been saying for a while now that people need to wear an alternative media condom so you don't get infected with FAIDS, you know, financial autoimmune disorder syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
It comes back to, say, Nazi Germany and Pol Pot's Cambodia and Mao Zedong's China. These people didn't have any warning before they got exterminated and taken over by a tyrannical regime, did they? It's because all the people who would have been telling the truth were either outside of the country not being heard by the people who they could have saved, or they were being suppressed by the country itself. And this is what I think alternative media is now. I think for the first time, really, we have an international information immune system that is trying to save humanity from extermination, from enslavement, and from all those nice things.
Well, what I hope is that people lose their faith in the established authority. And because what you're talking about charities and the celebrities that give to charities, I mean, I don't give to charities and I don't believe in them because in my experience, they've done everything opposite to what they say they're going to do or what you give them money for. You know, PETA kills more animals than anything. The Breast Cancer Society, you know, they don't know anything about what gives you breast cancer, but yet people donate and they walk their walk and they do all these things for breast cancer and it doesn't do anything. If they just knew that, if they stopped using deodorant, that would cut breast cancer in half right there. All that deodorant with the aluminum and all that stuff in it. So, I mean, I would just love to help people and go through their lives and figure out what is toxic and what is making you think this way and why do you believe this established authority. I tend to believe just random people I meet or people with their own show like you or Freeman or something because no one's paying them to say anything. So why would they lie? They're obviously telling the truth because they care. But all these other people have a hidden agenda and it's not anything that you know, the masses could even relate to because they don't think like that. They could never believe that there's this overarching conspiracy against them because humans are good and they couldn't figure it out. I mean, they could figure it out, but they couldn't believe that someone would actually do that.
Well, I think it's because people don't understand people who don't understand things the way they do, right? It's kind of like, for example, try and put yourself in the place of, I don't know, some kind of alien in a distant galaxy or something. How would you think? How would you feel? And the ultimate answer is, frack, I got no idea because it's just so far removed from me and I have nothing in common with it whatsoever. So I ultimately would have no idea. And this is the same thing with the psychopathic mindset, is that people have no fracking idea what the psychopathic mindset is, how prevalent it is, and more to the point, they're incapable of understanding it to a large degree without it being explained to them many, many, many times over, of course, in a propagandistic fashion.
Mm-hmm. And this is, what did you just say? They couldn't conceive of it, right?
Yeah, because yeah. It's so different to them, you know. It's like this is the classic line. Oh, why would the government do that? So the only reason that doesn't make any sense, and I say, well, mate, the only reason why it doesn't make no sense to you is because you aren't a criminal psychopath,
right?
If you were, everything would make total sense.
And yeah, this makes me think of Hannah Montana. Where she's two different people, you know, she's the elite pop star Hannah Montana, and then she's the lowly Miley Cyrus, right? And so that shows you, too, there's two different worlds that you could be living on at this time. And one is you have everything you need and people worship you, and the other is you're living hand to mouth, you have to get a job, you're just nobody, right? You're a plebe.
But even that's a deception as well, because she's the daughter of Billy Ray Cyrus and got more money than Davy Crockett.
Right. And he's the son of a politician, too. So she's political ties there.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave. Where's the human right to advance, right? And this is something that I talked about with Anthony Ravlich. He wrote a book called Freedom from Our Social Prison. And it breaks down like this. If you're born into a society, your future is very much already determined for you. And you don't really have much of a choice because there are so many barriers put in front of you to stop you from advancing, to stop you from changing the world, that it's almost impossible. Very few people do manage to break free of that, though. And they're quite exceptional individuals indeed. We'll be right back after the break at VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
La donna è mobile, qua più vale vento, fuga d'accento.
ladies and gentlemen, exalting scumbaggery.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about scumbaggery and opera. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, AM/FM stations all across the world, and they're all very lovely. And thank you very much. I wanted to mention specifically some of the internet radio stations, like these Changing Times Radio and TNS Radio in Ireland as well, for streaming the show. Simulcasting. Very, very much appreciate you guys doing that for us here at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Also, wanted to encourage people, if you support Freeman and Jamie's work, going into, and this is the thing, they're not just sitting here postulating opinions about the occult and all of that kind of stuff like some people do. They really are doing the hard research, doing the hard yards, and it's not an easy job. And it requires essentially a full-time commitment on their part, and as a result, they have great difficulty, even finding a job that pays, you know, it's not going to happen. So donate to them, please. Go to freemantv.com and give them a nice little donation there. Now, we're talking about psychopaths, and speaking of jobs, I was mentioning to Jamie over the break, the American Medical Journal defines a psychopath as somebody who's very nice and friendly and smiley when you first meet him and all of that kind of stuff. And but ultimately, they don't have any long-lasting relationships, and there's not too much depth to their personality, and they don't really care about anybody other than themselves. That's a psychopath. And when I read that first, the thing that came to mind is, oh my goodness, that sounds like every single employer I've ever had in my life. And thank goodness I no longer have an employer, because I really, really can't be bothered with that crap. Because that's how you get to the top in the society, isn't it? If you're a psycho, mm-hmm. who don't care about nobody else, only about yourself, you want to screw over, rape, destroy, steal, anything. That is how you get to the top. That is how you become president. That is how you become CEO. If you can't do that, the thing that you have to do is create it all yourself. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's how entrepreneurs work. They build everything up from scratch, and they don't allow anybody else to have controlling stakes in it, because if they did, they'd wind up getting infiltrated by psychos to a large degree.
Right.
At least that's
well,
my
when
theory.
You say the word, yeah. When you say the word psycho, people kind of think like Jeffrey Dahmer or somebody who eats fingers or something like that. But, you know, it could be anybody. There's a really good book called The Sociopath Next Door. And they say that about 5% of people have no empathy. And this is basically what you're saying, no regard for anybody else, no care for only yourself. And so 5%, that's really tiny, right?
I heard 4%. David Icke also refers to an eye study, an ocular study done in northern San Francisco, where they found out that 4% of people have reptilian eyes as well.
Huh.
So 4% psychos, 4% with reptilian eyes. I think that might be a very interesting coincidence.
So that's why we're talking to the other 95% of people, right? 96% of people who had good, nice mothers who brought them up with love and they care about things. And so what we have to do is stop being traitor to each other and stop worshiping these psychopaths, basically, and putting down our own neighbors or our own species, I call it, because they're not our species, are they?
No, they're really serious. Go ahead.
I just read a really scary article today about how the FBI is handing out flyers to different like airports and BD drug suppliers and fuel distributors and stuff like that, that they can read up and report people for being suspected of being a terrorist, right? And just the things that they say is a terrorist is really, really funny, like interest in remote-controlled aircraft, interest that does not seem genuine, possessing little knowledge of your purchases, using cash, just the things people do, and all these behaviors are being suspect now to terrorism. And so you know what that means. If you're arrested as a suspected terrorist, you don't have any rights, basically. That's the new law that has just passed. So what we have to do is stick together, the 95% or the 99%, if you want to go by the occupier standards, right, the Occupy Wall Street.
They just need to change that to, we are the 96%.
Stop turning on each other is what I would say. Stop submitting yourselves to that authority. Have a little faith in your neighbors and the people that you know, and stop being scared of everybody, because what we've done, instead of get a job or whatever, we just got a school bus. And we had all these fans that Freeman had from doing his radio show and his documentaries and everything like that. We got so many invitations. Like, they were always like, if you ever are in our area, look us up. You can come stay with us. We'll take care of you. Stay at our house. Anything. So we're like, you know, let's just take up these people on their offer. And that's what we've been doing, is just traveling around, staying with fans. I don't know any other entertainer who has been with and, like, occupied as many fans' homes as Freeman has. And it's been a really, really interesting, wonderful thing. And you just realize that the world is full of really, really, really good people. And it's just this tiny percent that is moving things toward a way that we don't want to go. But it's only because we worship them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I get that exact same thing as well. You know, people invite me around to their homes and shout me stuff. I kind of feel like a mooch. But at the same time, they're the ones offering, you know, and
right.
And I'm not taking them. Yeah, I'm not taking them for all they're worth or anything like that. So you know, it's the Freeman Vinnie Eastwood mooch tour or something like that.
Well, for some people, it's totally worth it, because what we've found in visiting a couple people is that we would get to town and meet someone. And they would say, oh, I'm so lonely. I have no one near me that knows about this stuff. You're the only one, you know. And so we were like, well, we have 10 other people who emailed us in this town who want to meet. Why don't you meet with them? And then you'll all have something, you know, in common, and you can be friends in real life. So that's kind of how the friendship agenda was born, and the social networking site that we have, because we want people to meet in real life and do real things in 3D and stop blogging about it and start creating the world that you want to live in. You know, I saw a great picture of a complex in Phuket, Thailand, and the whole high rises were covered with flowers, and the tops were edible gardens. And I'm like, why can't every city look like this? Just be overflowing with plants. I mean, that would save so much energy and time. But people have to believe in it first. They have to see it, that it's possible.
Yeah, and that's the difference between entrepreneurs and the average person. An entrepreneur will see something really, really clearly in their head that doesn't currently exist, and they're capable of creating it, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas the average person, on the other hand, in fact, it's impossible to lump everybody into a category now, isn't it? But a lot of people, they cannot see the forest for the trees. They cannot create things. They cannot think. And even if they can, some of them just don't want to. They think that it doesn't have any value. Like, I don't want to spend this many hours a week doing this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. And again, they just wind up talking themselves out of absolutely everything that they could ever possibly achieve in their life. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the psychopathic control grid wants. They want you to think that you got no potential. They want you to think that you're pathetic. They want you to think that you're uncreative. They want you to think that you're dumb, okay? Don't buy into it, because it's just a fracking lie.
Well, this makes me think of the victim mentality, too. We have to take control of our own destiny, basically. And this made me think of Katy Perry's E.T. video. Have you heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Where she's actually inviting the entities inside her and asking to be abducted and basically submitting to the aliens. And then they play this on the radio, and little girls are singing along, and it has the same message, and it has the same effect, because, you know, they're sorcerers, right? They want people participating in this ritual. And when you can get 25 million people saying, I want to be a victim, want to be abducted, fill me with your poison, this is going to be going to have a lot of repercussions.
It's, I don't know. When you look at the effect on the mind, sometimes it's difficult to just kind of like link them, like here's that particular song convincing people to do this and here's the incidence of people doing that increasing or something. So it's not usually just quite so cut and dry like that. It's more like here's 1 million songs that everybody's listening to, and then you have a look at society and you have a look at the mindsets that people currently have. Have a look at the 60s and the super bands that started to come up there, like Rolling Stones, The Doors, and The Beatles, obviously. Mate, that was the most impressive mind control, mass movement, manipulating mofos I have ever seen in my life. And guess where all of these lead singers and band professionals and everything get all their inspiration? Daddy, where did Daddy work? Oh yeah, that's right. He worked in military intelligence.
Right. Yeah, most of your, what you would call pop culture comes from the Tavistock Institute and Aleister Crowley's religion. I mean, you can trace pretty much anything that's going on today back to those two things.
Can you actually define, for those who don't know, and I actually kind of almost include myself in this, what is the Tavistock Institute?
It is a global think tank, and it's based in London, and they just get together and figure out, you know, 50-100 years from now what they want to see happening in society, and then they push the pop culture in that direction. So like I said, with Princess Warrior programming, they want you fighting the World War III, and that's why Madonna comes out as the Valkyrie and the goddess of war, and then the end is world peace right after everyone's dead. This is eugenics. Eugenics came out of the Tavistock Institute as well.
When was it first established?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, because it gets referred to a lot in the circles that I rotate around, you know, he's Tavistock Institute programming, he's Tavistock Institute programming, et cetera. Sorry,
they have thousands of subsidiaries, so you can't really, it doesn't always say Tavistock Institute, but you have to go back and see what they own. So that's a subject of research, you know, if you're interested in it.
Well, see, I was thinking we should create an institute of our own that encourages people to be cowardly, called the Chicken Stock Institute.
Cowardly?
Yeah. People who are afraid of being slaves, so they fight. And I feel, quite honestly, that I'm not actually a very brave guy at all. You know, I'm so afraid of being hurt and hit and that kind of stuff. I really am quite cowardly. And my bark is worse than my bite a lot of the time. And it's ultimately because of my my dread fear of being exterminated and being a literal slave in bondage that I do all of this. It's fear has been the great motivator for me. And I feel as though I am actually a very afraid person. But the difference is I approach it differently to some people. I approach fear proactively. I get angry rather than afraid, and anger gives me energy to go out and do it, because that's the difference. Depression is simply anger without motivation attached to it.
Well, just because you don't like violence doesn't mean you're cowardly. I mean, and there's no such thing as courage if you're not scared in the first place, right?
Is it about overcoming that fear, though, or is it about just accepting it and moving forward anyway?
Well, ideally, we wouldn't be scared of anything, because what's the worst thing that can happen to you is death. And if once you have made your peace with whatever happens on the other side, there's really nothing to be scared of anymore, is there?
Well, I think that's how slavery works, is that the human fear of death is the reason why the slave masters are capable of keeping us in line. Because if we don't do what the slave master says, he can hurt us, he can kill us, he can kill our family, etc. And that's the only reason why humanity still remains enslaved to this very day, is because we're so deathly afraid of our lives ending. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest from freemantv.com, Jamie Hanshaw. We'll be right back. Join us in the chat room at vinnieeastwoodshow.com and subscribe if you can for $5 a month to support the broadcast. Back in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo. But I'm here now. So what you wanna do? How many dudes you really know can flow like this? Like this? Like this? Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this?
Not many, if any, not many, if any.
How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check, check to the mic, check. A 1-2 from a crew coming through. Are you hype yet? Nowadays everybody wanna talk. You got someone to subscribe, ain't got nothing when I'm up in the lobby.
Welcome back to the show that's all about keeping it bangster. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Man, my country's full of slaves. It's really depressing sometimes. You know, you walk around in the street and you see everybody. The other day, this is more than once or twice. You go around and you see girls that couldn't be more than 12, 13-year-old wearing, like, thigh-high leggings, a kilo of makeup at least, and they look like the nearest a pedophile pit stop kind of thing. It's disgusting. It's absolutely gross. And the problem is that when we talked about this over the break, Jamie, is that when you look into the conspiracy, anywhere you look in any direction, ultimately at the very, very top of that conspiracy are the baby eaters. Can you explain just for those who are unaware, because this is the darkest topic, and very few people actually choose to actually go into this, and it is truly horrifying. The worst element of all the conspiracy is obviously the one that's right up the top of them all.
Right. And it's disguised in your everyday billboards and your everyday child's once you put these lenses on, the whole slew of children's media just starts to make sense to you, that this is all coming from pedophiles, basically. Like I said, the end of the conspiracy is that this brotherhood, not just men, but they call them the Brotherhood. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear.
Hello? Okay. They are into doing blood sacrifice. And there's a really good South Park episode about this called The Return of Chef, where Chef goes and joins this club, and they think it's just about world travel, but they come back, they try to rescue him, and they find out that the club is all about going and having sex with kids. Traveling the world, having sex with children for their, special properties that give you immortality. And I can't believe they got away with this, because it couldn't be closer to the truth, to what is going on at the very highest levels of government and entertainment industry. I mean, the Pentagon just got in trouble for having the most child pornography database ever. I mean, gigabytes upon gigabytes upon just the largest collection in the world of child pornography. Why would they have that?
Unless they were all using it, you know. And, well, not all of them,
but I say this is just the first round of calls for Disney stars, basically, because if you can have no care or love for your child whatsoever, they know you're going to sell them to the industry. And this has been talked about many times. They acquire pop stars from their pedophile fathers because they're the easiest to mind control, because they already have that underlying
trauma
base, right?
Yeah.
I think is coming out, you know, from Hollywood saying that pedophilia is Hollywood's biggest secret, right?
Yeah,
he's about
rife.
To write a book and name some name.
Absolutely rife. But, there's also a whole lot of programming with children as well. And you have a look at, like, for example, the natural family, you know, father, mother, child, etc. Okay, that's a natural family. That's good because you've got the child with the two good role models that they need to find. You know, boys need a father to follow as a role model. Girls need a mother to follow as a role model. And also they need the opposite sex as well. And what they do, they provide the example of the type of mate that that child will go off and find in later life. If you are, on the other hand, born into a family of pedophilia and abuse and things of that nature, it turns you into, it turns you into how you're treated. If you're treated as trash and filth and scum and have no empathy or whatever, that's exactly what happens to you.
Yep.
Come to think of it, where is all of these, what are they called? All these Disney movies, what are they trying to teach people, right? For example, can you think of a single Disney movie where the kid, he's usually a kid or something like that, who's the main lead role in the movie, has both parents that survive the length of the movie?
Exactly. And this isn't This isn't just Disney. This is lots and lots of movies. I mean, I can't tell you how many movies start out with the death of the mother. And so this goes back to what we were talking about, the eradication of the sacred nurturing feminine into a warrior goddess, because they don't want your mother around at all. And this was also in a cartoon of Disney's called Education to Death, The Making of a Nazi. Have you seen that? Where the mother is coddling the sick little child, and the SS comes in and breaks down the door and says, you know, don't be too nurturing with him or we'll take him away, because that's not what they want in people at all. They don't want that nurturing vibe. They want to eradicate it.
It's because that nurturing vibe is infectious, kind of like laughter and happiness and enlightenment. Mm-hmm. It really does rub off on you, kind of like chalk on a chalkboard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're really ultimately trying to eradicate is everything that the elite are not, which is empathetic, highly creative, caring, and moral. Mm-hmm. They want to eliminate every single baseline that would lead anybody to come to that conclusion, would come to that mindset.
And they want you to worship them for being that way. I mean, they want to show you they're perverted, and they want you to want to be perverted as well.
Yeah, the porn industry's only getting bigger, pardon the pun.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, where are our good role models? That's what I want to know. Where the frack are our good role models? Who else have we got other than pedophiles and people who obsess over wealth and engage in occult rituals at football ceremonies? Where are they? They're nowhere. They don't fracking exist.
I can't answer that because I've never really had role models. I've just always kind of been me, and that was good enough. And I didn't have to be like anyone else. And I just, you know, I wish people would stop wanting to be like the elite. And because they don't know what their life is really like. They don't know what they're worshiping. They don't know what these things represent. Like, you know, like you said, the Disney movies and the girls wearing their stockings or whatever, and they're 12 years old. I mean, this is planned out 50 years ago, right?
Yeah. And, well, so if it's planned out 50 years ago, What's the ultimate goal here? What's the average person going to be like if these scumbags get their way?
Well, I don't think we're going to be around much longer if they succeed, because they're getting into hyperdrive with their, you know, eugenics and their outlawing of vitamins and organic food and everything like that. So endgame for them is just us dead, and we have to do everything we can to keep ourselves healthy and stay active and stay, just combat them any way you can. I mean, stop drinking your sugar drinks, stop drinking your Monster drinks, stop drinking your coffee, stop just hurting your body, because that's what they want. They want you and your soul out of here.
Yeah. Well, I think of it like it's a quadruple factor. Well, it's a trifecta times four, I guess. Body, mind, soul, mm-hmm. and morals. Mm-hmm. Those are the four things that they need to destroy, and they need to destroy them all simultaneously, otherwise the whole system doesn't work. It's kind of like these are the things that maintain a decent individual and stop them from engaging in scumbaggery, essentially. If they've got a healthy body, a healthy questioning mind, a very pure soul, and very strong morals, that is the worst enemy that the elite can ever have. So if you want to defeat the elite, ladies and gentlemen, just remember the solution lies in your own body, your own mind, your own soul, and your own morals. And that's all you need to know.
Right.
All right. Well, we've come to the end of the line here.
And your friends, too.
Yeah. Totally, you know, surround yourself with people who reinforce that kind of stuff too.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody needs reinforcements, especially in a war of this magnitude. So thank you very much, Jamie, for coming on the show with us today, and I hope you can come on again sometime soon.
Okay, thank you for having me.
All right. Jamie Hanshaw, ladies and gentlemen, from FreemanTV.com. If you support the work that they're doing, exposing the occult and this wonderful and sometimes very dark world that we live in, and you want the information, the facts, and not just opinion, go to FreemanTV.com, make a donation, or at the very least, just share their content out and have a look at it, because it's remarkably interesting stuff, and you will come away further enriched much more than you would ever conceive possible. So again, Jamie, thank you very much, and thank you ladies and gentlemen for listening in, and we'll see you again sometime at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.